Do you feel like you're going through life clouded by doubt? Talk to California Psychics. Our trusted and accurate psychics are available 24/7, and we guarantee if it's not life-changing, it's free. Download the app or connect with us at californiapsychics.com. Right now, new customers get 80% off their first reading. Experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's badlandsranch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
A trigger warning can sometimes teach you to be afraid rather than teaching you to be brave.
We're finding out as we talk about this more of where the cautions are.
I want to see spice level stickers on books.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I was terrified for clowns for years.
Wow.
Did not like them. Still to this day, I don't like them. They're weird. They shouldn't be allowed. Ban clowns.
Da, 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 da.
Welcome back, everybody, to another To The Ramble episode. I'm one of your hosts, Austin.
And I'm your other host, Richard.
Today we're talking about, you see it in the title, should books have content warnings, trigger warnings? Content here, don't read, do read. Here's what you expect in the book.
Do read, but be wary of X.
Yes.
There we go.
And this discussion a little bit came off of back when we talked about censorship in books.
Yeah.
And we had a comment there by Hawkfa, not Hawktua, Hawkfa.
Hawktua.
Hawktua. the best two podcasts in the game, Tudor Ramble, but we will never be Hawktua.
No, we can't.
Talk to a podcast.
Talk to a.
You can't beat that. The memes I've seen of, have you ever seen the memes of them? It's fantastic.
Oh, okay. God.
So Hawkfa, thank you for giving us this idea where he was talking about how it's been on his mind as a father about book content warnings because he has kids and it's a very important subject. So thank you for that. And we're going to be talking about it, diving deep.
Yeah, this is a less extreme version of when we talked about book banning and like actual censorship of just removing books entirely. This is a lesser form. Should books have like where, hey, yeah, you can read it, but be wary of X content.
Yeah. To start us off, where would you like to bring that answer to that question, Rich? What is your opinion?
In general, I understand it for certain things. I would say it can go too far and can cause, I think it can cause more problems than it really potentially solves. And it's the idea of trigger warnings and content warnings in general, where I think it sometimes can train people to be wary of a subject matter bringing up, that it doesn't actually help you to constantly be, it saying it a trigger warning for something acknowledges that you should be afraid of it. You should be anxious of it. It's the idea in therapy of generally the idea of if you are scared of something, you should be introduced to it.
Exposure therapy. Yep.
If you are afraid of drowning and someone's like, beware, hey, there's a drowning scene coming up. Are you okay? Are you going to be okay? It elevates you. Yeah. Like, oh, I should be scared. Someone's warning me.
Mm-hmm.
Versus if it just, you see it happen and then it goes on,
right.
You're not prepared to be scared.
Mm-hmm.
So in general, I think that can happen in some cases. But then there's plenty of others of someone who's gone through something very traumatic and is not at the current place to just handle that, doesn't want to face some serious things. They shouldn't have to. I think I can see a benefit to that.
Yeah, I think with the exposure therapy part, we participate in some of that, where I think we set a good standard here on the show of we're exposing people to bullying's okay.
Yeah, so, no.
Bullying light is okay.
A little bullying between friends is great.
Strangers, go at it. Just go down the line.
Well, no, that's the thing. There's also an aspect with your friends of there is a sense of comfort when your friends are close together. And then you're going into each other and you don't have to say, hey, are you okay? Because that implies something's wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If you asked if I was okay, I'd be very
worried. You're concerned. You'd be like, wait a minute. I thought I was okay,
but then you asked me, and now I'm kind of going out of my mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
What are your thoughts on content warnings?
I immediately went to movies when I thought of this, because for books, I think the movie industry has a very clear, you see, now it doesn't go specific of, hey, this, but it starts with a rating system where you have PG, PG-13, R, X, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And it started to become, not mandated, but it started to become a consistent rating system in the 1960s in the U.S. It's different from every country. That's how the United States does it. And video games have similar things. TV shows now have similar things. And you'll sometimes see at the beginning of films, warning, nudity, violence, things like that. I think my opinion on it is content warnings are most useful for parents.
Yeah.
And
I'm in complete agreement with you on that.
So for parents to go, okay, because you don't have time to consume all this media and go, okay, I know this. So parents can weed and go, okay, it has this sort of thing, which I don't want to introduce to my kid at the age 5 or 10, which I think for movies in general, PG's a good way to measure that. The specific things in there, you don't need the list because it has PG or has PG-13. Now, I could see what let's talk about that in a second part of the conversation, because I think there's a difference here between content warning and trigger warning.
Is there?
A little bit. I in my head, I'm saying content warning as in, maybe I'm just wrong about the definition, because I'm thinking in my head, content warning, I'm thinking the rating system of PG, PG-13, like content warning, this is for this audience. I mean, viewer discretion advised type of, this is for PG-13 R rating. And then I guess what I was using trigger warning as was more specific. Violence, suicide, like, hey, there's specific triggers in here versus the content in general is geared for this audience. You see what I mean?
I get.
Yeah,
it's the difference of I can see very much in some cases a trigger warning being very beneficial for a very particular person, like a child that's gone
specific
through, child that's just gone through parents' death.
Yep.
Maybe at that point they don't want to read a book about a parent's death or you know. Maybe that's just not for them right now. Or sexual assault is another one of you don't want to bring that up. Maybe eventually that exposure therapy, eventually have to be able to confront these things and to get past them. But maybe, hey, they don't need it at that time. And it should be on their grounds and when they come up, when they actually face it. So they don't have to face it prematurely before they're ready.
Yeah.
Anyway, all those things, I understand your point of, trigger warnings are mainly for something traumatic or something a person has gone through will bring up very unpleasant memories and trigger something that is harmful to their psyche, versus content warning is kind of overall general of violence.
That's how I'm defining it.
Sex or, I don't know, swearing. That kind of stuff, mainly for parents to be able like, hey, look, you're 5. Maybe you shouldn't watch the Murder Clown movie. Deep-seated fear of clowns for a long time.
Because you watched it that young.
I watched the Murder Clown movie.
That's a movie?
Yeah, there's a Murder Clown movie. And it terrified me.
Oh.
Not it. Like, it's like Murder Clowns from Space.
It's
like a B-movie.
It wasn't out, but it's been out
when I was a kid.
The Murder Clown movie. I'm saying it. The movie It with the clown.
Yes.
Not that one.
Not that one.
Murder Clown.
Murder Clowns from Space. I don't even know the name of the movie, but I saw that. I was terrified for clowns for years.
Wow.
Did not like them. Still to this day, I don't like them. They're weird. They shouldn't be allowed. Ban clowns.
Video ends. Credits.
Ban it.
I still want one of our episodes just to be so short. Just a, we have the topic is should books have content warnings? It depends. Cut the black.
Should George R. R. Martin finish his book series?
Yes.
Yes.
Ends video. We're yappers. We're worse than Talk Tua.
Yeah. Well, Talk Tua at least. You know, she had an audience of people wanted to hear more from her. Clearly.
Clearly.
Us, we have scrabbled together.
We're begging.
We're begging people.
Listen to us. We are internet whores.
Yeah, exactly.
We just want the attention. We're like, oh, okay.
We want it. She attained attention.
She stumbled into
it. And used it.
More respectfully, she stumbled into it. On her day, was just kind of walking down the street, said something. Became famous, made that 15 minutes into fame, into long lasting. Like, oh my God, she's famous now. Us, we're climbing. Yeah, we're climbing our ways up. So
it's fine.
So yeah, that's why I was kind of in my head doing content warnings versus specific trigger warnings, because I'm trying to break down both to the conversation.
Between the two,
yeah,
I think we're both in agreement. I think most people are in agreement with content and trigger warnings being very beneficial for parents dealing with their children. Of it's a useful tool for parents to be able to say, like, hey, Tim, maybe little Timmy shouldn't consume this very violent sexual content at this age. Totally understandable. What are your thoughts on content warnings for older
adults,
people? Adults, maybe even young adults, like high school age.
Yeah, I guess I had a question before that too, because to keep the content warnings, we could talk about specifics for adults, but for those content warnings, I had a comment and question for you, because this is what came up in my head, and I was doing some sleuthing on this, and I was seeing, okay, content warnings for movies have kind of a standard where you see PG, PG-13, that type of content warning, where you see, okay, it's for that audience. I was thinking for books don't have a PG rating on them. But what books do have is genre, and you have children's fiction, middle grade, YA, epic fantasy. Even when you say the subgenre grimdark or horror or these sort of things, do genres replace content warnings for books? Do you see it that way, or is there a big enough difference?
I think there's a big enough difference in the specific sense of an actual content warnings are used by schools for school children. Very much it states, like, hey, here's the content in this book that may be triggering, may be concerning, that you may want to be aware of before reading this book. And specifically, we talked to someone else that knows exactly about this subject and give us some insight.
Do you want to segue?
I'm going to segue to throw it over to other Richard, where we're talking to a librarian about this. Thanks, other Richard. And hello, Summer, school librarian, aficionado, and patron member of our Discord and everything. Thanks for willing to come on to the podcast.
Hi, Summer.
Thanks, guys. I thought about time. It's been begging me to come on for ages.
Yeah.
And notice in that order, librarian's not as important as the Patreon member is, okay? See, if you're a patron member, you get to come on an episode. True. We promise. Okay, we can't make that promise.
I'll make that promise.
But thanks, Summer, for coming on. We just had some questions for you about this whole topic of content warnings in books. And Rich, you had a question to start off with.
Yeah. First off, tell us a little bit about your job as a school librarian. What is your big deal in, like, curating books?
In curating? Mm-hmm. It's been quite a journey, honestly. When I started like a year and a half ago and I stepped in, kind of seeing the books that other people in my position have brought into the library, it was a bit jarring, because the school that I'm a librarian of, I used to go to. And so I would go over to like the romance books, and these are books here that have been there for decades that bless these other librarians in the past, but they were older women. They were elderly women. And so all the romance books would be like divorcee, like 30-year-old, 40-year-old women who are like, have children or discovering themselves on the beach. And I'm like, teenagers aren't going to relate to that. So I started like curating with fresh stuff, new books that were super popular that I had read that were all YA. Like, there was quite a good list. So I was like, okay, these are all safe. And just like kind of started culling things and like adding things I knew were popular and I knew kids were into at the time. Like, even stuff to do with video games or Netflix shows, like all their interests lined up with all these books that we were bringing in. So I was like, I'll try and catch them with that, I think.
Nice. And I know with libraries vary in size. How many librarians mm-hmm. are there that curate at yours? Are you the end of the decision maker, or are there others involved as well?
I'm the only one.
Wow. The power.
The yeah. answer to no
it
one.
Is power. No. I don't answer to anyone. I do have obviously people above me within the school, like head of faculties, and I'm one of those faculties. But no, I've got full reign, full permission, full trust to buy whatever books I want and put them in. Of course, like I do have to rein myself in to be like, don't just put like my bias of beliefs and views or what I'm into. I do have to like, you know, spread out a bit, branch out. But yeah, no, it's just me. So I'm very lucky. I'm very, very lucky.
Well, we're talking about in this video, not particularly book censorship in the sense of maybe removing a book or not, but specifically about content warnings. Do you do you use content warnings with some of the books that you think are important to have, but maybe contain material that a reader needs to be warned about beforehand? Do you have to deal with any of that?
Yeah, we do. And it's an ever-changing like discussion and conversation with the kids and with the parents of kids at the school, what they're kind of allowing, because there is this level of trust of like, what kind of content is going to be in the books. Like they're like, can I send my kid just into the library to grab anything and it will be safe? And I try to keep that. But there are books that are important or cover subjects like mental health and things. It just depends on how it's portrayed in the book, I suppose. And like, is this in a healthy way, bringing, you know, guidance to kids on how to deal with things? Or is it a detriment? Is it almost encouraging and showing a more negative light? So we do put warnings on our books. I've had a lot of middle school kids start wanting to read the high school books. And so I'll get them to make a whole permission note from their parents, being like, I let them go into these books and they can pick out whatever they want. And then they come back. I'm like, okay, you can pick whatever you want. You can go and like look, but if it has like restricted, this is for high school / adult, don't read it. If there's books that have really sensitive content, then when they open up the book, there's a whole like big sticker that I'll put in that has like the counselor's number. And like, if they're struggling with something that is in this book, or if it's triggered something, they can go and see them. And it lists all of the content warnings. So we do have quite a few of those stickers that I'm just placing all around the place. So it's always good just to be safe, because some books, they're so close to being okay. And then there's something happens at the end where I'm like, damn it. I just slam on like the adult restricted, like, do not read this if you're 12. So they have to kind of look for those stickers.
What are some of the content warnings that you actually put into these? What kind of stickers do you have? What are the subject matters that normally warrant a warning? And why is it a warning and not a just, I'm not going to stock this book?
It's usually, I think if it covers topics like, maybe if there's abortion in it, if there's suicide, if there's maybe, of course, there's a lot of books where we have like couples are divorced, of course, but if it's a very extreme, like some, it's usually like a background thing, but others, it's like, that's the whole point of the book. Is this child freshly dealing with parents in divorce? Will be like, oh, hey, like if you need to talk about this, it's not so much a warning, but just to know that the kids are safe, just so that they see it, so they know what's coming in the story. I'd say those heavier topics, especially, yeah, suicide and whatnot, those are really important. And I do put that's for like the warnings, but when it's more restricted, or like it says adult, but really it means just high schoolers, like it just means 17, 18 year olds, it's usually when I know that there's quite a bit of swearing in the book. There might not be heaps, like if I get a book and it's just excessive swear words for just swear words purpose, I'm like, okay, this author, like, let's work on the prose. Like, it's not helpful at all. But if there's some, I know that some kids are sensitive to that because we are a Christian school, so it makes censoring like a really big deal. If there's a lot of, I love my romance books, I love my YA romance books, and I'm not going to not put a book in just because they're kissing, like, goodness, God forbid. But if I know that it's reaching a point where I'm like, this is not beneficial for middle schoolers to be reading, or even like, yeah, 13-year-olds, then that's when I'll put the warning on and put the, you know, adult only, do not go into this book. I'm sure some of them still do. it's not, you know, if the worst crime is them stealing a book from the library to take home, I'm like, well, that's, you know, worst things can be done. That's cool. You want to keep it and love it that much. But yeah, I tend to just watch out for those topics.
Is it mostly a delineation between middle school and high school where there's a lot of more content warnings specifically for middle schoolers, but high schoolers, it's just not as important?
I don't know. We have like sections. So we have like three sections in our library across, there's like thousands of books. We have like the nonfiction, and then we have the middle school section. So it's like, they know that these shelves, these books with the little, we have like red dots for them and we have black dots for the high school. And so they don't go over to the high school books unless they've like asked permission and asked their parents, can they go over and can they look? But I've noticed this year, especially, so many kids coming from primary, so it's their first year in middle school, they'd be about 11. They're all very advanced. And so they're wanting to like skip 3 years and go and look at the high school books. So I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, I think we have some good stuff here. Like, I know that everything in the middle grade, middle school section is safe. Like, it's always quite wholesome and still awesome. Like, I still try to find books that really pique, especially the boys. We have lots of adventure, lots of action, a few horrors, like middle school horror, because that's what they've asked for. But I don't, yeah, I know that safe there is only content warnings in the high school.
What do you think is the effectiveness of content warnings? Do you think it helps? Do you think it's more of a thing that to alleviate parents' worry? Or do you think it really helps the child to be warned about something ahead of time before reading it?
I like to think it's effective. I'm sure some kids do ignore it, but I do think it's effective and I think it's so important. It's with certain books that I think about when I read them at a certain age. I'm like, should this have had a warning? We have one book in particular that is in the library, and it's a book about suicide, of course, and it's got quite a open-ended ending, I'll say. I won't spoil it, but it's very, I think things like that, they do need content warnings. I do think the kids listen to those when it's more serious. I'm not sure about when it comes to the nonfiction books, because kids need to be reading these books, especially the war books. We have so many books about World War II. And it's like, these are important topics that the kids need to be reading. And if I put a content warning on it, how beneficial is it? How seriously are they going to take it when they're like, well, I have to read this for class. Like, I'm just going to ignore that warning. And hopefully they go in with guidance from their teacher and things like that, because it can... yeah, it can be tough. It's an ever ongoing conversation with students. I do ask them, I'm like, what do you want to see? What do you take seriously? What can you handle? Because I speak with a lot of staff and a lot of teachers, and they say, you know, I think it's fine that you put these heavy subjects in. Like, my kid can handle it. Like, and I know what kind of video games they're playing. I know what kind of Netflix shows they're watching. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, just because they can handle it doesn't mean that they should have to handle it. I think that there should still be that time of innocence, I guess, and more just adventure, and where they're not having to dive into these heavy topics. But of course, you know, I can't fully be security on who's actually going and grabbing these books and ignoring the content warnings. I just have to hope that I've curated enough books in a way that even if it is restricted, it's not gonna scar them. Like, it's not too extreme that, like, if they did read it, there's not gonna be super, you know, negative connotations with that whole experience, so that the parents are hopefully okay. Because it does take one more sheltered child or a conservative child to grab the wrong book and the parents find out, and like, it would be over for me. So I do have to like be careful.
So you rarely have any problems when it's the older students, so the 18-year-olds, because they're, it goes all the way from, I imagine, middle school. Adults are also in there picking up books. So those content warnings for the 17, 18 plus that are walking into the school library, is there way less of a concern for, hey, here's the content warnings, but you don't have to get a permission slip? I imagine it's much different than a middle school student walking in and trying to grab a book.
Oh, yeah. The high school can go for it. They can get whatever they like. Yeah, it is free reign. There's still, you know, there are some that are still quite quiet and reserved, and like, you can tell, like, oh, they're a bit sheltered, but I'm like, it's usually safe. And I do just try to grab them. I'm like that annoying salesperson. Like you go into the store, I'm like, how can I help you? And they're just like, won't leave you alone. I'm like, please let me help you find something that will suit them. But as far as that, as far as their taste goes, they can pick whatever they like, to be honest.
What are your thoughts on the idea that content warnings in and of themselves actually harm a reader's experience of the fact that they have to, the fact that there is a warning says that they should be wary of a subject, that they should be afraid or nervous about reading said subject, versus if there was no warning, they wouldn't learn to be scared of it. Curious on what your thoughts would be on that kind of take on content warnings.
Gosh, that's really good. Yeah, I haven't thought too in depth about that. I think, the kids, it's true. Sometimes you do get that scare feel. I remember having that feeling, knowing that something's going to be there. I guess that's why we try with our content warnings. I know it's different in the States as far as like banned books and everything, but I think that's why we try to make it not like warning, watch out for this, like this has heavy, this content, so and so and so. We're like, we're kind of walking there with them. Like they know they have support, that this is not an evil thing. It's just in it and it can be intimidating. And that's why we list like the counselor's phone number, the health lines, and like that. I tell them I'm fully open to discussion all the time. I'm like, please come and tell us, this isn't something you can do. You need to do secretly and be scared of. I think almost, I feel like it's less, how do I word this? I think that happening, like putting a warning to scare children, although I'm sure there's absolutely negative ways and positive ways that can go, I still think it's less of a detriment than not putting a warning and them going into it and, you know, them finding something or reading something that's just disturbing to them. Because I remember being in school, I remember the exact moment that like the innocence bubble popped, you know? And so I'm like, I wouldn't want that to happen to them without them knowing. And some kids do take it seriously. Some kids are like, okay, this is what's going to be in this book. And maybe the warning would deter them, not because they're scared of it, but because they know, oh, my parents, you know, won't let me read this. They don't want me to read this. I would hope that they have, you know, a bit of common sense with that and realizing that this is dangerous. But sometimes they're just too excited, so they just go for it. But ultimately, I think it's less of a detriment than not putting a warning at all.
Summer, you said something in that answer as well. You mentioned us from the States do it differently than where you are from. So that's another caveat here, that countries have content warnings differently for specific rating systems and how they do it for movies, books, et cetera. And then I can only imagine local libraries do it very differently from library to library. Mm-hmm. You had a Christian library or a Christian school library versus a public library. So there's a lot, I guess there's a lot of caveats here. And I don't know if we mentioned, is it okay if I say what country you're from, Summer?
Yeah.
Summer's from New Zealand, the one thing I'll say, US, we're on top, baby, but New Zealand, damn, they've got...
It is unarguable.
Ooh, New Zealand
is... the most beautiful country in the world.
The land of Tolkien. I mean, Summer, I guess we'll let you get on with your beautiful country. So we will thank you so much for coming on and answer these questions for us. This is insightful, and we're going to get back into our rambling. But Summer, if you want to leave, Summer, if you got anything to leave people off with or leave us off with, if you want to close off this little segment.
No, I think it's pretty good. I think if you're a parent, please, you know, watch over what your kids are reading. Please be mindful, but also please be open. Like there's so many books out there that are incredibly good, and there's just a stigma with it. Or I'm like, just because there's one warning doesn't mean you shouldn't let them read it. Please just read it with them instead. I'd say that's about it.
All said. Thank you, Summer. And back to Rich in the present. We'll say back to you.
I'm going to throw it back to other Richard.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, other Richard. That was a great segment. Great piece of content from our great friend, Summer. Back into it.
Back into it. Yes.
So that's talking about with kids, schooling, and how she specifically says of stickers that like, hey, this book covers XYZ topics.
Yeah.
Be wary, especially because you're a middle schooler. How does that apply to more adult topics? And where?
Yeah, now we can get into that. Yep.
Like I know in college.
Do you feel like you're going through life clouded by doubt? Talk to California Psychics. Our trusted and accurate psychics are available 24/7. And we guarantee, if it's not life-changing, it's free. Download the app or connect with us at californiapsychics.com. Right now, new customers get 80% off their first reading. Experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air-drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's badlandsranch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
I had several times of teachers bringing up the idea, like, trigger warnings and content warnings for subject material in my classes. What are your thoughts on that? Where you're well over 18.
Yeah, so my I'm trying to look at how I look at this personally versus how useful it is as well. Mm-hmm. Because I think some of the comments people will make, like when you see a warning on a book, some people are concerned that it's a spoiler. Hey, if the book says there's sexual assault, if it says there's this thing, then you know in it, when a scene is happening in the book where, for example, someone in a very adult book is preying on another person and stalking somebody else, and you don't know where that leads, but you know the warning on the book says something or can lead to some. So some people will say it's spoiler heavy. I don't tend to think it's that so. However, I think with the content warnings, it's important enough to people that want to view them. Maybe there's a way to view them. People that choose not to view them, so maybe it's not on the front cover of the book, mm-hmm. but there's a way to kind of go, okay, cover some of these topics for people that are interested. Because in a way, too, I view the back of the book blurb as a good warning for what might be in there. No, it doesn't get super specific about X, Y, Z is in there, but when you read it's about this and this, I guess when I'm picking up a book, I get enough of the context in my genre. So genre plus blurb, I get it. On top of that, when I'm reading a book, when I go to a movie theater or movie, a lot of the times it's being advertised a bunch and people are talking about it, and I'll go see the movie. I'll see the trailer. Gives a good enough idea. But movies I'll typically watch without a personal recommendation all the time. I will with personal recommendations, but not all the time. With books, because books have both the genre, blurb, and personal recommendation, for me in my use case, I never have to know, okay, what's specifically in there. Plus, I lived a different life where there's nothing there that I would avoid.
Sure.
For me, the use case is I would not avoid anything. And like you said, too, the exposure therapy type thing, maybe it's not a good thing to always avoid these things. There's exceptions, of course.
It's not even really the avoidance.
Yep.
It's the teaching of the self to be that this is something to be warned about. That when you put a warning on something, it provides tension. And so if you are like, what's worse, the surprise of something or the long going tension of you get the sticker of take the more extreme example of sexual assault, like content warning, sexual assault. Is it worse to like know that and it being something very personal, triggering to you and still reading through the book and being anxious about it, wondering when it's going to come? When you were warned and now it's in your head and then finally get to the scene, it's way worse. than if it surprises, it happens, and then you move on. What's worse, tension or surprise? I don't know. There's also the general thing of when there's little things with parenting. I remember some stuff between mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
Stereotypes apply to my own family as well. Of, you know, my mom can kind of be a worrywart sometimes. Sometimes for good reason. My dad less so. And so when I'm in a precarious situation, it's better for my dad to try and get me out of it because he'll be calm. He'll be like, hey, I know you're, hey, you climbed up, you know, this really tall tree. You're above the house right now. Dad goes, hey, Rich, maybe you should come on down there. I'm like, all right, Dad, I'll get down. And I climb on down versus if your mother comes out, goes, what are you doing? Get down. You're going to fall. The kid goes, oh, my God, I'm going to fall. And it teaches a fear response. And so that's my thought of a trigger warning can sometimes teach you to be afraid rather than teaching you to be brave.
What do you think then are, because these content warnings, trigger warnings aren't just for adults, they're for kids too. It kind of across the spectrum of you can't just pick and choose at times what you do. Maybe you would say then adult books, you put a rating of R, but would you then include warnings in there as well?
I mean, in general, for adult books, I wouldn't want to do it at all. It's mainly on parents and give a tool for parents to use for children. Mm. So at the school library probably should have it. If it's on a website for purchasing, maybe it should be. But in general, if it says adult, I think it just requires the parent to read the book as well or look a little into it. I don't know if there particularly needs to be too many content warnings stuck around everywhere. That's a personal opinion, though. I get why some people would really want it.
Yeah, I guess for you and I, there's never a book we wouldn't read because of something's in there.
It would mainly be for children.
Yes, but then that case of an adult who suffers from PTSD or suffers from something where they don't want something to be something, some memory to be recalled, something to trigger. So for those cases, do you think it's important to have any sort of warning at all?
That's the thing. I'm not sure. I'm kind of on the fence of it. I understand both sides of...
That's very not democracy is cringe of you. Like, don't teeter that totter. I'm the teeter totter. I'm the one who's like, you know, it could.
It's like, I just haven't been convinced either way. Yeah. I understand the idea that trigger warnings can maybe exacerbate a problem of PTSD. But it also can be beneficial for especially someone who hasn't gotten over it or very early into suffering from PTSD. Because even with exposure therapy, you want to start small and work your way up to something. You don't want to be thrown right into the deep end, generally. That's generally true of it. So a content warning would be nice so that they can slowly introduce themselves to something rather than just...
It seems like you're mainly unconvinced. Is it a beneficial thing to have for adults, even those who are suffering from something?
Even the people that want. That's the question.
You're saying the people that want them, is it even good for them? That's your question.
Yep.
Then you don't know the answer to that.
I don't know. I lean on the side of no. I generally, it is better to toughen up a little bit.
Desensitize.
I would much rather a surprise than tension and to teach people to be scared about something. Which I generally think a content warning and trigger warnings generally do, is it teaches you to be scared.
And that's the thing, I guess to look at a personal bias for people here, because there will be very religious parents and just parents in general that would be on one side of the political spectrum that would be, hey, content warnings for kids. Then there could be on the opposite side of the spectrum, the very, very far right versus far left, even right versus left on that spectrum of political opinions where you could go... Mm. Both can agree with content warnings for different reasons. One could say, I want to protect my kids. The other side can say, I want to protect triggers to things. Just being stereotypical to what generally people could think on each side.
Yeah.
So the thing is, I could see both. I see both. And I also agree with you on, because I'm not convinced, maybe similar reasons, I'm not completely convinced it's a beneficial thing. With the caveat being, maybe there. So I know this is also a tool that could be used where there's online tools and sources where you could look up the book and see what the warnings are. You can do that. And so it's accessible. I think what people might not want, the people on the camp of have no warnings on there, would be like on your book stapled onto there, just having all the content warnings there, or even the front. Because every book has 20 pages before you actually get to chapter one. Nobody reads those pages. I don't see the big harm in having like a thing on some page if people want to read it and go to that. Because like you too, there's the people that would want a warning to go, okay, I don't want this to be in my books. I don't want this to be in my books. Fair enough. I guess for me, the reason this hasn't been something I'm advocating for to like, let's get it done tomorrow, from the beginning of the conversation saying genre, blurbs, and subgenre specifically, when I read a cozy fantasy, I kind of know what I'm getting. When I read a grimdark, I kind of know what I'm getting. When I get, it doesn't always cover it, but
no. Definitely doesn't always. It's in the thumbnail of the book.
Prince of Thorns. Prince of Thorns.
Prince of Thorns. I had no idea what I was getting.
Where'd it go? There it is. That's a fair point.
I read this. So here's like the blurb from the back of the book of when he was 9, he watched as his mother and brother were killed before him. By the time he was 13, he was the leader of a band of bloodthirsty thugs. By 15, he intends to be king. It is time for Prince Honoris Jorg Ancrath to return to the castle he turned his back on, to take what's rightfully his. Since the day he hung pinned on the thorns of a briar patch and watched Count Renard's men slaughter his mother and younger brother, Jorg has been driven to vent his rage. Life and death are no more than a game to him, but he has nothing left to lose. And part of the, like, okay, dark.
Definitely mentions he sees his parents die. There's a lot of death and violence, I'd assume.
But chapter one, it's this
essay and sexual assault
and like absolutely grim stuff. It doesn't go into the details of it's
sexual assault and other things. Yeah,
but it's this child who's like this young adult who does sexually assault these younger women and also condones it on for the rest of his gang, and it just is. It was so
jarring. That's chapter one, too.
It was chapter one, and I was like, yeah, I don't want to read on because I don't want... This is my main character?
Yeah.
Then question,
would you have liked...
Not in the mood to read.
Would you have liked a warning for that, then?
No, because I was fine with reading it going, I'm not a fan, and I stop reading. But that's the thing. I guess even something I'm not a fan of or I don't want to read, I'm okay reading it and then just stopping. Well, it's similar, the other people that are like, I don't even want to get to that point.
Well, then for movies, because movies do have warnings, not just the, hey, this is for PG, PG-13 audience, but has nudity, sex, violence. Do you even think that should be removed, or do you think that's okay? And do you think that something similar should happen for books? Because that's where I'm teetering and tottering, because it is in the film industry. It's in video game industry. You open up a video game, you'll know what kind of content it will have.
In general, I don't think it's an awful thing. No, it just depends on what exactly are you screening for and how far do those restrictions go, and what goes further?
This comes from our deep trust issues, because I think if it was a perfect world, I was like, okay, these warnings are perfect. Of course, that makes sense to go in that book. But for some reason, I feel like with books, you can misconstrue a warning to where you can technically say in some books, like Mistborn, the first book, you can technically say there's very deep, dark stuff in here. Like there's death and gore. You could really emphasize and hyperbolize what's in Mistborn. And I'd be cautious and afraid that, hey, no, Mistborn's okay for
most young adults.
Not middle school, maybe just right after. It's not high content. So I guess to come down to it, my opinion is warnings could work if in an ideal world, but I think it would make it's hard to label books. It
also maybe be better if the author themselves puts them in the very front, then like fine. Yeah. Because the author knows the work better than an over application of it. And that's the reason why with the music industry, people get kind of nervous about it is if you put a, explicit rating on music, it can affect sales on people who are going to avoid it, even if maybe it doesn't apply. And that's, I know that's with the movie industry. Putting a R rating on a movie tends to make it just not as successful financially. Is that all all movies want to get that PG-13 rating.
The one F-bomb.
Exactly. Because then you could still get, kids will still be able to go, and parents, and you get the widest audience. So that's the fear. That's the reason why a R-rated movie typically will have a smaller budget, because they know they're not going to be able to reach the same audience. There's a hesitation to that. So with books, I would find it a real shame if a content warning was misapplied to a book that then limits the audience that it reaches.
Yeah.
That would be my reservation on it.
Yeah, I think we're finding out as we talk about this more of where the cautions are.
Yeah. And there's some basic stuff of, I get it for parents and even for other people, of like sex, gratuitous violence, swearing, and I don't know, assault, like different types of assault and maybe suicide. Like generally that kind of stuff, a content warning seems fair to put on. That's good for parents and for adults just to know.
I think a well-intentioned parent too, you want to introduce your kids to those topics, but over time, because mm-hmm. all those topics, I think by the time you reach adulthood should be explored, but at certain ages, you don't go at 6 years old talking about sex and suicide.
Yeah.
Not at all. It's unacceptable.
Yeah.
You introduce that stuff as you want to, as a parent, where you think it's appropriate, you know, your kid, but as they grow up. So mm-hmm. putting that on to there is very helpful for parents.
And I can even think of, in some cases, like take suicide, for example,
yes.
Yeah. Books can approach the subject of suicide. It's not necessarily the subject of suicide. It's how do they talk about it?
That could be
very different.
Yeah, so what's the message of the book?
Two books can both talk about suicide and have completely different messages, and a parent will accept one versus mm-hmm. another. So it's not necessarily the content. It's how it's done.
Another caution then, because that's a great point, where PTSD, take for example. Mm-hmm. So PTSD. So someone that would want a warning on a book doesn't want to trigger their PTSD. Now, the part of our consideration here is it good for the person? Where let's say that book with the trigger warning with PTSD is actually a way to cope and handle PTSD. Like, yes, it does. There are traumatic things that happen in this book, and it will possibly trigger PTSD, and there's things to warn about. However, with that warning comes, there's maybe this is the best example of a book to coping with it and to handling your trauma. And this is a mm-hmm. this is actually a good lesson. These books, what we get out of them is some moral, some theme, some message. It makes us think differently, unlike any other medium. And to take that away because of a warning, not just take it away in that sense, but to prevent you from reading it because of a warning may be detrimental to yourself, because reading the book is better than not in most cases.
Yeah, and also in general, there's also, I think, a real difference between movies and books.
Yeah.
There's something maybe a bit more shocking and warning about a visual stimuli. I don't think a book can have that same grasp. You know what I mean?
It's all in your head.
Well, no, so, it's not right? just in your head, but you can stop at literally any word.
Oh, by the period, by the letter.
Yeah, like if you don't want to read further, you don't have to. It's not like with a movie of a scene can happen and you can't really like stop it. You can't grab the remote in time and it's something that you don't want to see. It's hard to just stop that in the moment.
Mm.
Also, I think visual stimuli generally can be probably more triggering, I would imagine. I have no evidence to that at all. It's just intuition.
We are a channel of no evidence. You come
exactly.
Here, you go to book for that stuff.
Talk to him.
if you want real hardcore nice evidence, you go there.
But my intuition says that a visual medium could be more triggering than a reading.
Now, to be fair, there's audiobooks too. So one person was bringing up, I think in one of our comments here, that actually the comment from Hawkfu from the beginning, Hawkfa, why the whole talk to a thing happened, was saying how sometimes he listens to an audiobook in the kitchen, it's kind of on the speakers or just in the background of his phone, will be doing dishes and has to rush to stop it because his kids are in the room and didn't realize that the book had that kind of mm-hmm. whatever scene was going on there. So that was part of the concern.
I would not listen to Fourth Wing on the speaker, speakerphone. No.
Oh, no.
That's headphone or physical reading only.
Physical in public if you're brave enough.
Yeah, God. Oh. Yeah, no.
Forcewing doesn't. Forcewing is romantic, and you kind of know what you're getting into because
yeah,
what people
but
say about it. But there's no warning that says
there's a difference though, because I would say there's a huge difference between Forcewing and ACOTAR. ACOTAR, I think, is far more tame than with Forcewing. Is just so explicit that it's you're not like, hey, it has this subject matter. It's just like, no, let's get every detail for pages on pages. Like, that's different.
I loved when we had the Fantasy Fangirls on. They said that was about middle of the pack. That was three out of five for how spicy things get in books.
Yeah.
I don't want to see a five.
I don't want to see a five.
I want to see a content warning.
Call me a prude. A three, I don't want to see five.
You know how parents look after their kids with a warning and say, hey, kid, don't read. I still need my parents.
I want that. Fair enough. I think we can agree on a content warning that I want to see. I want to see spice level stickers on books.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I want that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, you know what? I'm feeling with this romance book, like a two. I could do it. Like, I'm feeling a two spice.
I could handle that.
Four spice? No.
Not for me.
Not for me. That's not my thing. Three, I already knew was too much. I could do two.
The thing is, too, with things like that, why that the warning itself, but despite that, people that recommended Forcewing to us and we knew about Forcewing, we knew going in there were spicy scenes.
Yeah.
I wasn't surprised by them other than reading ACOTAR to reading Forcewing. Forcewing was way more descriptive than ACOTAR. That's what surprised me a bit too. Yeah. But question for you then, because this whole conversation happened years ago when the show 13 Reasons Why came out. Mm-hmm. All about suicide, and parents were going, man, why is this show out? Because my kids can watch this and have access to Netflix, and it talks about something I don't want to introduce them to. That whole conversation. How do you think that plays a part? Where I guess going back to our topic about subjects being handled in a way where depending on the medium, depending on the message of it, does it promote said thing? Does it go against said thing?
I haven't read the book or watched the show, 13 Reasons Why.
Yeah.
But I do think I understand the aversion of understand the basically what it is like mm-hmm. person commits suicide and writes a letter of like, hey, here, these people are the reasons why I committed suicide. And it's in some way a justification of taking one's life of, hey, showing all these reasons and then they did it. Like, I wonder what does that message say? And you could take it as if you have enough reasons why. It's a justification. I understand that the move, like, it probably doesn't go into that, doesn't justify suicide, I'm guessing. But that surface level look at it, I can see why a parent would be like, no, I don't want my kid to. She's like, hey, here are the reasons why, like, you know, a kid reading going like, yeah, that happened to me. Oh, and that's also happened to me. I guess it's a good enough, like, enough reasons there, I should kill myself. I get it.
Yeah, and I guess for adults, and what we're pinpointing here is, warning or not, reading the book, getting a certain message, and getting something out of that book is important. I think some of the things that I can think of movies more easily, because I think there's not many books where I'm morally opposed to, or it's just it angers me. There's some messages. Actually, Name of the Wind was
Name
one
of the Wind.
Of those.
Yeah, disagree with the message.
Disagree with the message. However, there's some things that you read as a parent for your kid, and more so it's about what's the message of the story. Or as an adult, what's the message of the story is also important. And I just feel that you don't want things to get in the way of that, because you could have a Way of Kings, which could give a lot of warnings about mental health and a lot of warnings about multiple personality disorder, depression, et cetera. You could have all those warnings, yet I'd recommend it to everybody with depression, everybody with multiple personality disorder, everybody across the floor, anybody dealing with regrets, anybody dealing down the line will have all those warnings. And would it prevent someone from reading or going, man, I don't want to touch a topic because it would hit down, when in reality, it's the best self-help book out there in the world. And that's what I'm concerned about, because
maybe it's not necessarily the warning itself. It's how warnings are treated.
Yeah.
That often I remember in college of talking about different subjects, like teacher would bring up like a trigger warning for X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. and the implication on that. And so, like, if you'd like to step out of the room.
Oh, yeah.
Today we'll be talking about this.
Yeah.
If you raise your hand, you're welcome to step out of the room for X 30 minutes. So this is a trigger warning. Which encourages you to be, again, the teaches you to be afraid and to be cautious of a subject matter. And it also encourages you to stay away from it rather than confront it. Where maybe the better thing is, hey, look, trigger warning, but also you still need to sit here. And, like, encourage you to still confront it even if you are warned. I don't know.
And that comes from our thoughts of, I think you should try to digest everything. I think read good books, read bad books, read messages you agree with, disagree with, things you hate and love. Okay, things you love. You want to read things you enjoy, of course, because it's a hobby. But you should always look at things outside your comfort zone and confront, as you said. So,
yeah, no, the only way to understand your own opinion is to understand the opposing side.
Just to destroy the opposition. That's the only way.
I want to destroy them more accurately. That's the thing.
That's why when you give our book review we did from Name of the Wind, you just wanted to reread it so you could specifically say why you hated it.
I needed to hate it with accuracy. Mm,
Hate of the Wind. That wasn't creative.
Name of the Hate?
Better. I like it. We'll workshop better. It. We'll workshop it. So what conclusion did we come down to here whatsoever?
I hate that we have to basically say it depends. No, we can't come to some conclusion.
Yeah.
Content warnings. Good tool for parents. Great tool for parents and for young children. For adults,
Approach
with caution. But if the content warning is directed toward staying away from something and averting people, that is not the right approach. And that a warning should be useful to mentally prepare yourself to confront the subject matter rather than hide away from it.
Yes. I guess our whole critique here is just about how people view them in general.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the warning itself, just when people see that they have a way of reacting to it.
Yeah. And why?
Yeah.
So.
Well, what do you all think? Let us know in the comments below. This will be civil.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, we know that putting trigger warning in the thumbnail is going to get absolutely zero engagement. That doesn't cause any kind of social strife in comments.
I'm curious too, because we're not following the content warning thing here. It's not like in every YouTube video we start it going, hey, we're going to say the words and talk about suicide, sexual assault, this, that. No. We don't ever do that, and we won't.
Well, it's because generally there's one thing about talking about something and it's another thing going into details.
Well, some people don't want to talk about it. It's
at that point where
that's the thing too.
If your content warning is for something like
talking
like
about,
oh, yeah, content warning for suicide, and it just mentions the idea of it, I'm like, do you really need a content warning? Like, come on, that's lightly brushing up against the topic. It's kind of the same thing of content warning sex in this book, and it's the characters like lean in to kiss and then cut to black. It's like, no, I don't think you do need
a Sanderson warning should not get a sex warning on his books. No, he's safe.
He cuts to black every time.
He's a good little Mormon.
He's a good Mormon.
I'll end it with that.
Would he be insulted calling him a good little Mormon?
I did it because I
love... That feels insulting. Call him a good Mormon's one thing.
You know
call
what? I said that because Mormon's I simp insulting. Over Sanderson. He's my favorite ever. So you watch 99% of my Sanderson content. I bow to him. I love him. So I got to throw I got to bully him once. and that's...
Yeah, bully him for his religion. That's a great thing to start
No, it was
with.
The little... It was
religion's not the insult.
No, it's the you little. Yeah, you little. Okay. You little unsuccessful. Just start. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? You gotta sometimes go outside your comfort zone and confront people. You know?
I'm gonna clip that and show it to him in Dragon's
Steel. When I have my soul outfit on.
Yes.
All right. Let us know what you think in the comments below. We always go off the rails.
Yeah.
Talk to you later.
Bye, y'all.
Do you feel like you're going through life clouded by doubt? Talk to California Psychics. Our trusted and accurate psychics are available 24/7, and we guarantee if it's not life-changing,
It's free. Download the app or connect with us at californiapsychics.com. Right now, new customers get 80% off their first reading. Experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Fall is in the air, and that cooler weather calls for an update in your skincare. Moisturizing is key to keeping wrinkles at bay. That's why we need a skincare routine that's easy, fast, and gives us results. Plus, what if your products had thousands of five-star reviews? Were natural and affordable? Well, say hello to Dime Beauty. Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Not sure where to start? I highly recommend the Work System. It's everything you need in one powerful package. Take out the guesswork with a proven routine that includes a gentle yet effective cleanser, a super skin toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers. See what everyone is raving about. From serum sets to the always sold out retinol alternative TBT cream, you'll find your perfect skincare match. Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally 5 stars. Love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. That's dimebeautyco.com.